I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics, you know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
The question that I asked with Akshay was that, do you let technology lead or whatever? With you, do you let data lead you or do you let something else lead you? What's your process? We were trying to understand how you think. So I'm just trying to understand, what's your process? Do you start with data first and then you become all creative? Or do you start with, what about this? And then try to figure out where data fits in.
So in many ways, I actually start with my gut. I feel like, okay, if this was a brief and I was a consumer of that product, right? What were the things that would have motivated me or wanted me to purchase it? Okay. Data in many ways is a validation of your gut, or in some ways it could go against your gut, which means that you just need to get a little more research. Probably there's an insight that you're missing. And I think that in general has been my approach when I was looking at it from a strategy function. Now the function that I play is more of a product and a platform function, but earlier in a strategic lens, and when I help brands on their strategic narratives, I think this is in some ways the process that I follow.
Interesting. So for somebody who is a data scientist, or somebody who you actually follow your gut, is it a conscious decision or is it something that you just do naturally?
I think in many ways it's something that I do as a default, because data can also be misleading. For example, algorithms, right? Everyone says that our algorithms out there to eat us up, are they really going to replace what we do? But an algorithm at the end of the day is created by a person. And if you create that algorithm with a certain bias, right, then it's not going to give you the best output for whatever you do. So first, your gut is a good indicator of whether a piece of information actually makes sense or not. And then you develop that gut by backing it up with data. And if there is like an outlier or something that you weren't aware of that comes out from it, then it just means that you need to strengthen that logic, and which is where that research angle, like I said, comes in to sort of support that entire thing together.
That's interesting. Akshay, related question for you. In fact, it's coming from the feed over here that I've got. When Shebang runs campaigns for, let's say, Godrej Properties or UNO, how important is reaching the relevant customers, and how do you ensure that? How do you, let's say, I'm not asking for your secret formula, but what do you do to just have a, what's your approach towards a problem that your client brings you?
Yeah. So to your question, I mean, absolutely. I think getting the insight bang on is the beginning of everything that you can do, right? And a lot of times that either could come from the client, where the client could feed you with, you know, research that they've done, or we try talking to consumers who are actual consumers of the brand, or could be also, you know, surrogate consumers through our own network of people. So we do a lot of, you know, forms, for example, we circulate forms among our teams. Yeah. We have friends and family sort of fill it up. But generally, what we do is that we never start an ideation without having some insights. We work very closely with the Google team also to get, you know, insights from Google, which could be, again, intent-based behaviors. What are people searching for within our cohorts? What are people who are interested in, say, hypothetically, real estate? What are they searching for on digital, right? Try getting a few insights from there. Try getting a few insights from Facebook also. You can see, you know, if I take the core audience of my brand, I can see what are the interests that this particular audience also has on digital platforms.
Right.
So we try building these cohorts. We try building, you know, a pattern, which could be, some could be primary, some could be secondary. We work with a couple of tools as well. But eventually, once we have some data-driven insight, is when we actually start with the brainstorming process. Obviously, generally, this will happen when we're doing larger campaigns, which give us the liberty of time. But typically, digital, you know, you have nothing more than like a week to plan the entire campaign and design and execute, right? So in those cases, we go with instinct, we go with gut, we try seeing whatever we can find online itself, could be secondary reports also for that matter. But I think if we get the time and clients allow us the time, we do spend a lot of time on just, you know, getting primary data also. And then build from there.
I hear a lot of angst in your hustling. Actually, it is like you always are, you know, stuck in these tight deadlines and stuff like that. But that's like part of and nature of the game. A question for Abhinay. Okay, Abhinay, when was the last time you changed your mind about your gut because of what data showed you?
I think it's pretty much happening on a regular and on a daily basis with respect to brief, because there's always something new that you're made aware of. Like, for example, yesterday I learned that people who are interested in Xbox are actually also very good, are now heavily into mobile gaming as well, right? And normally your mindset would sort of say that separate console gamers versus mobile gamers, right? So correct. I think data in some ways gets you aware of it in many, like it gives you a greater insight and it's not like a today or a tomorrow perspective, but it's more like a brief specific for that client, for what he's trying to get, for whatever information you've asked for. What is the different learning that you're getting, and that could work for any campaign, however big or small.
Right. Okay. Interesting. So here's a question for both of you, because you're both in very similar fields, or maybe even the same field, I would say, if I have to look at it broadly, like marketing communications.
Yeah.
Here's the question. As young leaders in marketing communications, you may have seen the writing on the wall, on the way in which things have been moving so far and the way in which things are going to move in the future. What do you think the change is, if there is any? I mean, you are free to say that, hey, shit, you're talking bullshit. Nothing's going to change. Everything's going to be the same. If there is a change, what is the change? And what do you think an agency or a company should be doing to address that change? And I'd like Akshay to go first, and maybe the data-driven Abhinay can go later.
I think one biggest learning we've had as an agency during this lockdown COVID time is that, you know, you've got to diversify. You can't put all your eggs in one basket. Like, for example, you can't be too dependent on one kind of service, A, and you can't be dependent on one kind of industry, B. Like, you know, so for example, I know there are people who only service hospitality. Now, what is this guy going to do now when there's no restaurant or no hotel open, right? Or I know people who only do, say, video marketing, right? Now, the thing is, brands have reduced their spends considerably in content. And the thing is, you can't even shoot large production, you know, films anymore. You've got to rely on the more animatics or self-shot kind of content. So people who are too dependent on one kind of format or one kind of, you know, service are sort of out of work right now. So I think so that's more from the current perspective of how we are seeing the industry. And I'm using this more like an example, because I think a lot of people who are tuned in right now must be saying, okay, fine, what do I do right now? Because right now are, again, unprecedented, really difficult times, right, for all of us. So I think diversification of services plus industry is very important. But I think also going forward, we're all questioning, you know, whether we'll actually go back to sitting in office, whether, you know, things are going to be remotely done. So this entire thought of also, you know, using technology to bring teams together is going to be very important, right? And not just bringing internal teams, but also working with clients to actually co-create and build things, right? So I think it's a very interesting time for us to think and see, do we actually need such large spaces? Do we need to actually have a physical office? If we do, are we having flexi work hours, for example? But why I'm saying this, it might not necessarily be linked back to a particular service, but I think it's just for us to think about. And going forward, I think technology will play a very, very important part of this. And I think to the heart of it, and whatever we do, I think we all are, again, in the space of telling stories. So data in that sense, you know, primary research, data science will always be something which we can never really avoid, because at the end of the day, it is all data driven, whatever we do online, you know. So,
Thanks. And Abhinay, what do you think?
So for me, I think more than, like, of course, looking at spends and the way the industry is moving, that's one aspect of it, right? But I think what the time like this has really showed us to focus on is primarily more efficient ways of work, right? We've got to find better ways of delivering the same services in a much lesser time-consuming fashion, in a much lesser effort-consuming fashion. And I think that is something that's clearly come out from the entire period in which we're in. I think in some ways we've had a head start of investing in that 3 years before, so we've had some of a lead time out there. But clearly, so to speak, what's going to happen as soon as things are done with lockdown is that, it's like Akshay said, I mean, maybe we need to rethink work, we need to look at flexi hours, we need to get the right systems and the right processes in place, but we've got to find ways of making them more interconnected than they are or they appear to be. And I think that's going to be a very key area of focus. And to drive those things, like data, for me also, it's a buzzword. Being a data scientist is actually a skill. I think everyone should, just as we had literacy as language, I think coding and just analyzing and playing with data is going to be more like a literacy element, and that's the role that I see it. So the data sciences or a data scientist function is no longer going to be defined by a particular boundary. So from that point of view, I think we've got to find better ways of future-proofing talent. We've got to find a better way of future-proofing organizations. We've got to diversify. We've got to focus on efficiency. And I think those are areas that even the industry is moving in. Everyone, of course, at different paces, but that's the general direction that people are going to follow. Games and Pokemon Go, I think, were the largest example of that, right? Where AR really came into the forefront in terms of the consumer interaction with brands and with stuff. So I think that it's going to build a new way of interacting with products. It's going to be a new way of even discovering new things, right? That's why Google is focusing so much on the Lens product and getting artificial intelligence into discovering brands by just hovering your phone over it, right? So I think AR, VR is already making waves in that. And I think it's just going to continue and be amplified because of the circumstances.
What do you think the trigger event is going to be for AR and VR to actually, you know, come in there for the early majority? Right now, you might have early adopters and innovators kind of connected to that. What do you think can be a trigger event? Like, for example, the pandemic was a trigger event for a lot of the Zoom success that Zoom is having, right? This is a hint to Colosseum to shift from Skype to Zoom. Okay, all right. So yes.
So I think AR and VR is largely dependent upon the ecosystems that are actually helping promote it.
Yeah.
Like, for example, now that, you know, Instagram and Facebook allow for AR to be a part of the filters is a step in that direction. I think it's obviously we are heavily reliant on the platforms. While we can go out and, you know, create amazing content, if nobody has the platform or nobody has the hardware to actually consume it, it's absolutely of no use, right? So I think more than an event, I think the triggers right now is that the platforms are evolving towards giving us the opportunity to actually create content in this AR and VR space, right? So, I mean, nowadays, anyone and everybody is making AR filters for clients, you know, it takes about 2 days to make them. It takes about 12 hours to get updated onto the platform. I mean, people are making AR filters for birthdays, for that matter, for their own birthday, they're making an AR filter. So again, the barrier to entry is so low because, you know, anyone can go on like an AR Spark for Facebook, create their own filter, submit it, and it's on the platform. So I think it's about how the platform is evolving to give us these opportunities.
Wonderful. Well put. Okay, here's a question that I've got. Sorry to cut you, but here's a question which I wanted to ask you before, you know, because I can understand that we might have lost a little bit of time. This might go a little bit ahead of time, like 6 can become 6:05, just so that, you know, you guys are a little thing about it. See, The whole point of this conversation, I'm just bringing us back into this, is to understand how you guys think, right? So a lot of it has been in two areas. One is how you think about your leadership, how you think about the stuff that you've done to reach here. And the second is how do you think about your functional subject, okay? Now, my question is, suppose a young person, younger than you, somebody who's turned 30 or just, you know, maybe 27 in Abhinav's case or whatever, you get somebody saying, what do you recommend I do? I want to be broadly in the area that you're in or maybe in a related area. What do you recommend me to learn? What do you recommend me to practice?
Okay, so I mean, if you're looking at something specific to what I do or the field that I'm in, I think the advice can be very different. But mm-hmm. a general principle that I've followed is that really follow what you would enjoy, and mm-hmm. that's why I think in many ways I'm in the field that I'm in and the area in which I'm in, because I found, and I think I've been fortunate to know very early on, that consumer behavior and understanding that is something that I was passionate about. So it led me to take steps to actually get to where I am in some form, right?
So Abhinav, let me stop you there. You're absolutely right, but you're an exception. In the sense that you are in a situation wherein you're not in the confused lot. There are so many people, so many students who keep telling me, right, I'm confused. You know, sometimes I feel that they like being confused because that allows them the liberty to chill.
Right.
No,
you're absolutely right. So, I mean, like Akshay had his fair share of internships or jobs that he didn't like, I had a fair share of that as well. Like I worked with Deloitte. I figured out that very early, I think I got the clarity that consulting is not something that I want to invest myself in right now or at least for the next 5 years, right? So I think it's all for someone in that mind space, I think it's essential to just try anything, right? Mm. And figure out, just like take one step in one direction. You'll either identify whether you like it or you don't like it. And then in that case is where you course correct or you continue on the path that you're in.
Okay. All right. But specific skills?
Specific skills, I think it really depends on the line in which you're going. So for example, like I said, for me, coding is now going to become literacy in many ways. So that is a skill that you must have. But definitely you need to learn more about, like even in that Deloitte internship, right? I had to understand what the hell a consulting firm does. From that point of view, because I was fresh. I was like in my first year of college. So I think you have to understand where you're taking that step also. Like, just don't go off a cliff. But yeah, figure that out first.
Akshay, what about you?
It depends on the role highly, but I think my suggestion to, you know, youngsters who are at least dabbling with thinking of digital marketing being one of their fields of expertise, I think what they've got to do is join a place which is allowing them to do more than just their sought out job, right? I think it's very important that you try different things and grow into it. Because again, when you're 20, 21, 22, you're too confused. You have no idea what you want to achieve in life, because this is the first time you're actually getting into the real world, right? In that sense. So I think being a part of a growing team, which will allow you the nimbleness and the opportunities to actually experience and grow into different things is very, very important. So again, working with startups allows you that experience, allows you the flexibility. So I think flexibility is very, very important, because you might be put into different situations, different roles. But I think when you start dabbling with different things, you'll actually start understanding what really is your calling. A lot of times I see people coming in as content writers into Shebang. They spend a year as a content writer, but they move to the video team because they think that, okay, production is something which really interests them. Or we have people come in as a content writer and they move to the media team because they said, okay, I love writing copies for media. Okay, now let me see how I can also buy media. So I think it's about finding your calling when you're in a space that's allowing you to experience more than just doing one thing. And another very important tip, I think, to every youngster is that, you know, at least spend 2 or 3 years in that job. Don't keep jumping from one job to the other, because it takes at least those 2 years to do justice to what you want to even do in that job, right? And obviously, like if the company is not really giving you any opportunities, it's time to leave. Yeah. But if the company is good, the culture is good, and you know, if you are being given new things to try, do it. But at least spend 2-3 years there, and don't keep switching for the sake of, you know, because I'm getting a little bit more money here, or you know, I think these money conversations are more secondary. I think in the formative years of your life, it's more about the experiences. So,
okay. So, follow up question on this is that if you have to, so you've given advice to somebody younger than you. Yeah. If you, and this is a question for both of you, but I'll start with you, Akshay. If you have to give advice to somebody who's older than you, say suppose somebody 10 years elder to you, okay, what would you say?
I mean, depends on what he's doing right now.
So let's say that he's in a typical midlife crisis. He is in a situation wherein he doesn't know what the hell is happening to his life. What is all this data sciences, digital marketing shit? You get what I'm saying, right?
So, you know, very, very often we get people who apply to us for a digital role, but they are like 45 plus, okay, or 40 plus for that matter. And they've had like 20, 25 years of experience, and they come with more experience than all three of us partners combined, you know. But I think the kind of experiences that they've come with are absolutely amazing. So, you know, in whenever I have conversations with them, generally it might not work out because maybe their expectation of salary is too high and we can't afford them because they have been along in the industry for too long. Typically, my suggestion to them is always that, you know, that it's not difficult to understand digital. And today, trust me, anybody and everybody is on the platform, right? Like everybody has a smartphone, everybody is consuming content. I think it's the older folk who actually come with a lot more insights, which some of us younger guys don't get, you know. The way they think about an insight is actually a lot more evolved in the way we think about it, which is why we rely a lot on tools and data, while these real life experiences to actually give insights to us campaign. So I think for them, the tick box is that they understand insights well, they understand the human behavior very well. But for them to learn a new skill, which could be, you know, digital marketing, could be media, is not difficult, honestly. There are enough and more resources to sort of learn online. If you come into a company which has an open culture, who's teaching the employees, they learn on the job. So my suggestion to someone who's 40 plus is that digital is not that difficult. I think very, very importantly, as storytellers, you've already understood how consumers work. Now it's about learning something more, which can come on the job also, you know.
See, you're absolutely right. And I like Abhinay's take on it. But before Abhinay comes into the thing, my take is, a lot of times it's not about the fact that digital is something that is learnable. I think it's more to do with the attitude that that person brings on to the table.
And
that's probably where, you know, shit hits the fan sometimes, you know, sometimes.
I'll draw a parallel actually. So like one of the guys, Sushant, I'll name him, he might kill me for this, but he's older, much older than us. And he comes with a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience. He's worked with Dell and a bunch of other, you know, brands in the past. He's sort of leading the Bangalore team right now. So and he's looked up because people respect someone who comes with so much experience, right? He had zero experience in digital marketing, but in the past 2.5 years, 3 years that he's been with us, he's obviously learned the tricks of the trade, but people respect him for the maturity. Clients respect him for the maturity, right? And everything else that he's learned on the job.
Wow. Okay. No, shout out to Sushant. I think that that's an amazing thing for him to do. So I don't think he'll kill you, hopefully. Sushant, if you're listening, give him a chance. Okay. Abhinay, what about you?
So Sid, I think in many ways, one part of it you answered in the sense that it requires a mindset shift.
Right.
But largely, I think the trend that at least is gaining steam in the West, and I'm pretty sure it exists out here, it's just not so prominent. But a reverse mentorship is something I feel that would in many ways be able to help that happen, because often while I play a role in this process called operational excellence. Just what I said before is one of the ways in which we're trying to do is we're trying to find out more efficient ways of work. And that requires not just like the breadth of experience, but the years of experience as well for you to identify which is the right way the organization should really be looking at technology and stuff and processes and all of that, right? And I think a core of my interaction has been always, while of course I feel that I'm learning constantly from people much more senior, have had a greater experience in a particular line of business, but often they're also being exposed to a completely new way of thinking, right? For example, getting automation through Microsoft Power Platform, right? Very specifically putting, is something that a lot of people are now being aware of, right? But it's something that the data scientist team did work on in the past. So in that way, cross learning and reverse mentorship is something that I feel would future-proof us as individuals, really, irrespective of the age in which you're in, because you're always open to new ideas, irrespective of where they're coming from.
You're a very nice person, Abhinay, is what I can say. A lot of people are assholes, man. They're not nice people like you, and so they will not listen. But I agree with you. The advice that you're giving is very, very good. Now, here's... So I told you that I'm going to ask a googly or two at the end of this, right? So the googly is that if what's the question I haven't asked you which you'd like to answer? And both of you. And ask the question and answer it.
Wow. Okay, then. Maybe the question could be, if we weren't doing what we are doing right now, what would we be doing?
Good one. All right. Okay.
You know, probably I would have done an MBA for sure.
Okay.
And probably would have also tried having like another startup in, it could have been in the finance space. You never know, right? Like I probably wouldn't have switched a job from finance to marketing if you ask me. But yeah, I think in that moment, I thought marketing made the most sense. But I think, yeah, if I always had the vision that I always wanted to lead a company, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur for myself.
Yeah.
So it could have been actually in any role, it could have been in any industry, but for me, the excitement is of being an entrepreneur. So I think I would have done something. Maybe again, could have been in the tech space, could have been in the automation space.
Agnostic of
exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Abhinay, what about you? What's the question? What's the answer?
Okay. So to answer his question, I think one field
No. Don't answer his question. Answer your own question. What's the question?
I was actually going to give you like a bonus round. I was going to answer his question and pose another question.
Okay, go for it, man. Go for it.
Great. So answering his question, I think one area that I would have personally liked to dabble in would have been law. I think it's a very interesting subject and there's a lot to learn from it. And there's a lot that you can do with your business by just getting a better grasp of the law, right? So I feel that that's something that I would have probably picked up. Maybe I can still pick up on reading, but as a field, I would have really liked to get into that. Now asking the question rather and then answering it myself, I guess what I would also like to know from Akshay though is that what is the one thing what's a hidden talent that people don't know about?
Good one. Yeah.
So it's not very hidden, but like I love photography, so I really pursue that very, very religiously as much as I can. It's not a hidden talent per se, but yeah, it's something which I do and that keeps me.
You're talented. I can't photograph for nuts, man. So that's why I'm asking.
No, so I actually utilize my Instagram handle to only publish my photography work. Nice. And my LinkedIn is for all my professional work. So I keep that kind of distinction. So you won't find any 30 under 30 on my Instagram. It'll be only on the LinkedIn, basically.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And Abhinay, what's that, man?
Great. So one thing that I feel that I've really discovered recently is maybe I feel that I'm really good at teaching and conveying. So I think that's...
So I'm going to call both of you... I'm going to call both of you to some institute or the other. Here's my next googly. And after that, one more and then we're done, right? Any mistake that you've done that you'd care to admit?
Mistakes...
No, just one. All is good.
I mean, yeah, I have made mistakes as a content writer back in the day where I've posted a wrong post in the wrong brand handle, you know.
Oh, man.
And obviously, Steph discovered it, so I've deleted it, but it was there for some time.
Yeah, I can understand. Oh, that's rough, man. Thanks for sharing. What about Abhinay? What about you?
I had a mistake that my boss identified, which I didn't know it was a mistake until it happened, but... So we were playing with databases. It was like an entire new concept to me. I was learning a lot on the job as I was starting out myself in this in the team. And I actually started off a server without knowing that I had to turn it off. A very rudimentary skill. Sort of went on. And then soon at the end of a month, we got a bill. Fortunately, it wasn't a significant amount, but we got a bill for it. And I sort of admitted to it, saying that, you know, I didn't know that I had to, if I wasn't using it, I was going to be charged for it. But
right.
Well, I think ever since then, I had to more than make up for that mistake.
You know, so what's really interesting, and I'm going to give this as feedback to you guys and also to all the listeners who are, the mistakes that you've admitted to are very genuine, honest, but also at the small stage. Even on the server thing, it's a small stage. And that means a super high level of awareness that both of you are showing. And most of us don't really, we ignore kind of mistakes, and then they become bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's the mistake that can fuck up your career, really. These kind of mistakes just help you grow, they just make you eat shit a little, but besides that, it actually helps you grow. My last question to you guys, okay, the last question is, what do you, and you can answer it in 1 minute or less, when you wake up, after you wake up, take before you go on your smartphone, okay, and what do you do to wind down?
So for me, the answer is -3 minutes, because I'm already on my phone before I get out of bed. So
no, I didn't say get out of bed, I just wake up.
Okay, I mean, within a few seconds, actually, if you ask me, like, my phone is perpetually next to my head, and yeah. I mean, unfortunately, and that's it stems from the kind of work we do, because the phone's always buzzing. It starts at, you know, the absurd 5 o'clock in the morning, goes on to like 2 o'clock in the night, because every brand has 2 WhatsApp groups, one internal group, one external group. Now, when you have 65 brands, so you can do the math to know how many WhatsApp groups are buzzing the entire day, right? So, for me, it's like almost instantaneously, like, I'm on my phone, unfortunately.
All right. Okay. And what do you do to wind down before we go to Abhinay?
I try, you know, even during this COVID time, I've been shooting birds from my window whenever I can. And so, yeah, I enjoy just like shooting whatever I can. So photography is like one outlet for me to just get my mind off work. And I try reading whenever I can. Yeah.
What's the best photograph that you've taken of a bird?
It's on my Instagram handle, actually.
I'll take a look, man. I'll take a look. Certainly, that's one good way of
putting. Which I shot during the COVID. So yeah, you can see it's the lockdown picture. Yeah.
What do you?
Nice. Cool. So for me, I think maybe it's probably an industry thing, but it's like 0.001 second. I think it's more got to do also with the time zones across which I operate. Yeah. So I think a better question would have been, when are you off your phone?
off your phone, man?
I have Japan that wakes me up in the morning, and then I have US and Mexico at the other end of the spectrum. So in some ways, it's like a continuous process.
Mm-hmm. So you're never off your phone, basically.
Answering your, I mean, yeah, except like the hours of sleep that I managed to get.
Okay, all right.
But yeah. And coming to your winding down point, I think what I've started doing more in the lockdown period is, I took a Netflix subscription, started binge watching shows, and I think I use that as a good switch off.
Wonderful! Thank you so much.
He's giving Netflix.
Giving it. Yeah. well, guys, thank you so much. I'm really sorry that some of it was disrupted by technology, but mine, which is having a moderator-less conversation between two guys. Thank you for your time and your attention and the care in which you took to answer our questions. A lot of wonderful, interesting stuff has happened. I hope the audience enjoyed it. Where can you be found by people who stumble upon this YouTube video? Instagram,
LinkedIn, both.
Instagram and LinkedIn. Okay.
Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, or they can reach out to you guys, and then you guys can connect them to us.
Certainly, we'll do that. And thank you so much. Any mistake is completely mine. If I've upset you or hurt you or the rest of it, but I had a great time and wonderful. Man. Hope that we can catch up in real life.
Absolutely. Right. Thanks so much for having us. Nice talking to you.
All right. Thanks. Cheers. Bye. Thanks.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh, and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HD Smartcast original.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.